The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Wednesday to you. Thank you for joining us on Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We are currently in a series that we're calling Revelation, Letters to the Seven Churches. These letters seem as pertinent today as they ever could have. And today we're going to be looking at the letter specifically written to Smyrna. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and David Renfro. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Bob Wilkin, and I'm here with my friend David Renfro. And,
hi.
Hello, David. And today we're going to be looking at the second of the seven letters in the Church of in the Book of Revelation. This is part of a series we're doing, and this is the letter to the church at Smyrna, and my heading says this is the persecuted church. Mm-hmm. And we begin with the destination. Could you read 2:8, the first verse of it?
Yeah, it says, "To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life."
Yes, so here we get both the recipient, the angel or the church in Smyrna. And then on top of that, we get the speaker who's not here called the Alpha and the Omega, which are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet.
Right.
But instead, he's called what?
The first and the last, who was dead and came to life.
So that's a reference to his bodily resurrection on the third day.
That's right.
And also, it's interesting, in Greek, it's protos and eschatos.
Yeah.
The first and the last. And we get our term eschatology from eschatos.
That's right.
In fact, when I taught at Multnomah School of the Bible, Rex Koivisto, the head of the Greek and Bible department, wanted me to give them all Greek names. So we gave them various Greek names. But this one guy kept coming late to class, and I hadn't given him a name yet. So you know what I called him?
Oh, no.
Eschatos. His name
I'm
was,
glad I wasn't in your
his
class.
His name was Tim. A shout out to Tim if you're listening, but he was not Timotheus in our class. He was Eschatos.
Tim Eschatos.
So Jesus is the first and the last. That is, he's, of course, God, mm-hmm. and he is the eternal one.
He's the eternal
and he is
one.
The Lord of the church.
And this is especially relevant to this church. The description of the Lord here is really appropriate to this church in Smyrna. And we get a hint of that in, guess what the word Smyrna means?
What?
Bitter.
Ah.
To the church in Smyrna is the Lord as described as the eternal one, the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. He was the resurrected one. What's interesting here is that their history deals with sometimes Smyrna dies.
Ah.
And how does Smyrna die? Two ways, earthquakes and invasions. And so this description of the Lord here is appropriate, isn't it?
Yes.
To the believers that are experiencing a city dying from one of those two reasons. And so the Lord then says in verse 9, he says, "I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan."
Wow, that's a strong term.
That's an extremely strong
term. Synagogue was a gathering place for Jewish people.
They would consider faithful Jews, yeah.
To worship Yahweh. But actually, he's saying, no, because they're rejecting Messiah Jesus, they're ultimately a synagogue of Satan.
Because they are opposing Jesus, and therefore they represent Satan's opposition to the Lord.
Right, and the word Satan means adversary.
Yeah, and these Christians are suffering horribly because of that.
And that's the tribulation they're experiencing. Even poverty could be, in some part, related to their faith.
Exactly.
Because they're going to be persecuted, so people won't buy their goods or won't give them jobs or
They're socially ostracized. They lived a very difficult life. There is no doubt about that.
And so what about a rebuke for this church?
This is one of two letters where the Lord has no rebuke.
So they're not told, "I have this against you, you've lost your first love,"
right.
or "I have something else against you." Only commendation for this
church. Only commendation and exhortation, but there is no rebuke because they're going through so much. We have no idea what they went through, but it's horrible, apparently, what they went through.
But they're not only going through it, they're handling it in a God-honoring way.
They're remaining faithful in spite of the suffering that they're experiencing.
And that's what we're called to today.
Exactly.
Remember that Lot was tormented day and night by the wickedness around him.
Exactly.
And we're like that today.
Yeah.
All of these things we experience and more are part of the challenge of the Christian life.
It's very easy, in order to try to compensate or to relieve some of that, to bring in those standards and those practices from the world, bring them into the church. That way our opponents go, see, they're one of us.
Right.
And we get acceptance again. We need to guard ourselves against importing worldly standards, worldly practices into the worship of the Lord.
Right. And the church at Smyrna was one that was not doing that.
Correct. They were doing it the right way. They were faithful in spite of the suffering that they were going through.
All right. Now, okay, there's no rebuke for them, but there is an exhortation.
Right. Verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer.
Now, wait a minute. The things which you're about, you mean it could get worse for them?
Oh, yes. And I have a note here for this first phrase of verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. I said, easier said than done.
Right.
But see, that's part of our faith. In spite of what we see, is the Lord on our side?
Amen.
Is he with us?
He is, of course.
And we have to, that's part of our faith. Sometimes believing things in spite of what we see and what we experience. That's what the Smyrnan believers were also called. They were called to remain faithful in spite of what they were about to be tested with.
And there's a prophetic word here. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you may have tribulation 10 days. Now, this could be literal or this could be figurative. Are they literally going to be in prison for 10 days? Is this talking about the tribulation, the great tribulation, the 7 years, or the last 3.5 years? There's a lot of questions about this verse, right?
The answer to your question is yes.
Yeah.
No, it could be 10 days. One explanation that I read about the 10 days, they could throw somebody into prison for 10 days to scare them into conformity. That would be the literal, you know, the 10 days would be get a taste of what you would see permanently if you don't change.
Right.
But it could be figurative, meaning a short time.
Right.
There's no indication in the text as to which way to take it. There is a reason to believe that a culture would throw people into jail as throw such and such in jail and let them get a taste of what they're heading toward, you know.
Right.
So I think maybe that's what's going on here.
But this would be not going to jail because they stole a loaf of bread.
No.
This is going to jail because they're worshiping Christians.
And they're not conforming to the worship of their culture.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And so then we're going to get some sort of reward, a promise for the overcomer, right? Like we got in the letter to the church at Ephesus.
Right. And there's something else that is missing from this letter. There is no threat.
Ah.
In the previous letter to Ephesus, remember, if you do not change,
I'll remove your lampstand. Yeah.
Whatever. In this letter, there is no threat because the Smyrna Christians are doing it right.
That's good.
And then there is the promise to the overcomer. Once again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What does he get? He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. This is a promise.
Oh, we also, I think at the end of verse 10, we didn't go over, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Exactly.
So we got both of those, two different
exactly.
things.
Yeah.
Faithful until death would be perseverance,
mm-hmm.
and there's the promise of the crown of life. What is this crown of life?
Well, if you study the New Testament, there are several crowns.
Right.
Kind of sprinkle through the letters.
Yeah, I think people say five, if I remember right.
Thereabouts.
Yeah.
And this one is the crown of life. And the way I heard it explained, and I think it's right, is people who suffer a lot know a lot more about life than people who don't suffer.
Yeah.
And they don't get to experience life to the fullest because they are under persecution or they're under a lot of suffering. So what's the reward for faithful, patient suffering when the Lord comes? A crown of life. I think the crown of life is a special reward for those who faithfully suffer.
So, special fullness of life. Now, by the way, the same expression does occur in James chapter 1, the crown of life, and Hodges there suggests, and I think he's right, that that's referring to fullness of life now.
Mm-hmm.
But this one can't be because he's promising it after you die.
Exactly.
So this has to be probably rulership, because crowns tend to symbolize ruling with Christ, that's associated with fullness of life.
And I think it's also the wearing a crown is a special recognition.
Yes.
You see somebody with a crown, you go, oh, wow. They did something great. So I think that's what's going on here as well.
And they'll have special closeness to Christ, who's going to wear the ultimate crown.
Exactly.
What about the part about the second death? Won't be hurt by the second death.
I think this is protection from any kind of separation from God. Meaning, some people would say this, the great white throne judgment, that kind of thing. And I think the reason it's mentioned here, I think all believers are exempt from the great white throne.
Right.
But I think the reason it's mentioned here to Smyrna Christians is that when you suffer, it's easy to forget these promises.
Yeah, that's a good point. And some people use this sadly to say, if you're a victorious Christian, you're not going to go to the lake of fire, which is the second death in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. That's
exactly
around verses 12 and 13 and 14. But if you're an unfaithful Christian, you are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. That's not the point. No Christian will be cast into the lake of fire. I believe Hodges, when he comments on this verse, says that this is litotes, which is understatement. And he's saying not only won't they be hurt by the second death, but they're going to experience special fullness of life, which, of course, the crown of life already suggests.
Right.
As you're going through suffering, you need to take your focus off of, as you mentioned before, what you see now, and you need to live in light of what's coming. Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. What we see around us is not the kingdom of righteousness, justice, and peace, but that's coming. Jesus is coming soon, and he's going to reward those who are faithful.
And that's the proper perspective. Christians get in a lot of trouble when they lose their perspective.
Much of what was going on in the first century is going on again today. And we're experiencing a lot of tribulation in our day. And if we're faithful until death, he's going to give us the crown of life. He's going to give us fullness of life. And that's what we long for, is his well done, good and faithful servant. See you later.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio at faithalone.org. That's radio at faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to talk about the letter to the church at Pergamos. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.